Today is Holy Saturday. Welcome to today's podcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Since there is no Mass celebrated during the day, there is technically no station for this day. There is a station for the Vigil Mass, which is St. John Lateran, and therefore the collect is the same, at the Lateran, for the catechumens. Next to, and apart from, the main basilica of St. John Lateran, is the octagonal-shaped baptistry. It was established by the predecessor of Pope St. Leo the Great, Sixtus III, who died in 440. This baptistry was for many generations the only baptistry in Rome, and all catechumens were once baptized here. They would descend into the pool at the center of the structure, and when they emerged, they were anointed all over and then clothed with their white baptismal garments. Early in the morning of Holy Saturday, at the Lateran, the archdeacon, having melted some wax, mixed it with chrism, blessed it and poured it into various small oval molds, on which was impressed the figure of the mystical Lamb of God. These Agnus Dei were afterwards distributed to the faithful at the Mass on Saturday in Albis as tokens and mementos of the Paschal Solemnity. From the Sacramentary by Blessed Ildefonso Schuster. The space of time during which our Lord lay in the grave represents that of our present life, which is a period of expectation of our future perfect resurrection. We begin even here to rise again to grace, and for this reason we say on this night, as we celebrate the Paschal Solemnity, Pascha Nostrum Immolatus Est, our Pasch is immolated, not the Pasch of Christ. But the festival is not yet complete. There still remain many things in us which sleep in the sepulchre of a corrupt nature, or are wrapped in the darkness of ignorance. Faith indeed sustains us, and hope assures us that one day all these miseries of our mortal nature will cease. But in the meantime, we must be content to spend our mystical Holy Saturday in watching and waiting. This partial resurrection of the soul is granted to us as a foretaste of what is to come, just as our present ritual anticipates the celebration of the resurrection of Christ on the last day of Lent. This, as we know, is merely a concession to our weakness. We are still in Passiontide, and our Lent is not yet at an end. The true and perfect Easter will indeed come, and when it comes, it will exceed all our conceptions. And when shall this be? When Christ shall cease to offer, daily, by the hands of his priests, the Eucharistic mysteries which commemorate his death, and shall establish in heaven a new liturgy, the liturgy of the universal and unending Easter. In the same quarter where he was crucified, there was a garden, John 19:41. The word garden hinted at Eden and the fall of man, as it also suggested, through its flowers in the springtime, the resurrection from the dead. In that garden was the tomb in which no man had ever been buried. Born of a virgin womb, he was buried in a virgin tomb, and as Crashaw said, "And a Joseph did betroth them both." Nothing seems more repelling than to have a crucifixion in a garden, and yet there would be compensation, for the garden would have its resurrection. Born in a stranger's cave, buried in a stranger's grave, both human birth and death were strangers to his divinity. Stranger's grave, too, because since sin was foreign to him, so too was death. Dying for others, he was placed in another's grave. His grave was borrowed, for he would give it back at Easter, as he gave back the beast that he rode on Palm Sunday, and the upper room which he used for the Last Supper. Burying is only a planting. Paul would later on draw from the fact that he was buried in a garden the law that if we are planted in the likeness of his death, we shall rise with him in the glory of his resurrection. Fulton Sheen.